listening to the UK and the world's favorite wrestling podcast, RTM Wrestling, with your hosts, Andy and Emma.
And we're on.
We're on.
We're live, pal.
We're live, pal.
Although we're not, because it's a podcast, so if we say something bad, we can just stop it and start again.
Which has happened.
We have more had some times potentially than life and career-destroying lines come out of my mouths.
And you've heard the ones that stay in, so...
I know,
That's
what producers are for these other podcasts. They take out all the incriminating
stuff.
Yeah. I need to cough, hang on. Not well.
We've both been fucking horrendous for the last, like...
I'm okay. I've been fine until, like, last night. I started feeling a bit ill. Started feeling a bit like I've got a cough, and then I woke up this morning, and I've got a dry cough, which makes me think it's COVID. And it won't surprise me, because I have been here, there, and fucking everywhere over the
last
week.
That's not a bad shout, actually. Have we got any tests?
I don't know. Maybe in that cupboard.
Because it might be worth doing a test.
Yeah. I'm not sure we have, but we can have a nosy.
Do you know what? It might have been that.
Maybe. This feels like how people describe... I can still smell and taste, but it's just a dry...
Well, that doesn't happen every time.
A dry cough.
But we'll soldier on and we'll do a show.
I don't know why we're doing a show. We've not watched anything, really.
I've kind of skipped through some stuff. I've not really... I feel like I've not really had the time, but...
We've got a couple of talking points,
yeah, up to date with kind of what's happening and all that kind of stuff. Other than being poorly, how are you doing?
All right. As I say, it's been a busy week. Been to London. Been to Southport. Where else have I been? Been to Manchester to be able to travel to those places, because you can't from where we live. Yeah, fun times. How are you?
I'm all right. I just feel rotten. I feel absolutely grim.
It's horrible.
Definitely going to do one of them tests, because I reckon that's what it is. Because I still don't feel right, and I can't can't keep up with all this time off. And
no.
But yeah, other than that, we had a good day yesterday. Didn't do anything, but we managed to watch a certain...
I was literally wondering what you were talking about. I was like, I wasn't here yesterday.
Well, how dare you?
How dare you? I feel like I've only just got back from a week kind of here, there and everywhere, but I was here all yesterday, wasn't I?
Yeah.
Woke up in my own bed.
You did indeed.
Which was great.
It was great.
And Stockport County versus...
Versus Disney Plus.
Disney Plus, yes.
5-0. You just saw that.
I weren't expecting that. I thought Stockport were going to get dicked.
Did you?
I really... I told you I thought it was going to be 3-1. I thought Stockport were going to score early and everyone would get dead excited, and then Wrexham would put 3 in and that'd be it. So, for Wrexham not to score at all...
And they did hit
County
the bat.
To get 5.
5, yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Classic shows for your TV. There you go, if anyone's old enough to remember that. Banger from the Spice Girls, launching Channel 5, circa 1997.
Oh, yeah. Christ.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Fucking
mint. Oh, yeah. Really,
they must have paid out the arse for the Spice Girls.
They must have done.
At that point. Peak Spice Girls.
Peak Spice.
Fuck me.
It's not like Piccadilly Gardens peak Spice now.
Oh, yeah.
It's a different type of Spice.
It is a bit, isn't it? But yeah, Stockport County was great.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And the thing is with like Wrexham is a lot of people... I know this is a wrestling podcast, we will get there, but we've not started the show yet. So maybe skip forward 15 minutes if you don't want to hear any of this. But the I don't dislike them, because they've got a good fan base, and the amount of times I've been to that fucking ground and the away fans have brought like 20...
Mm.
And it's even in League Two, like, you know, I mean, don't get me started.
When you've been to County and
Salford,
Wrexham have brought 20.
So Wrexham, I don't dislike Wrexham.
Right.
I don't have like any kind of. I don't feel like there's a rivalry there, even though there is.
Yeah.
I think the rivalry with Wrexham is a bit more like a tip of the hat. We want to beat each other, but
Yeah.
You know, we've both got good fan bases, you know, 10,000 plus a game. They've obviously got... They were doing that, which has to be said, before this Disney Plus documentary came out. So, you know, we'll get to what we want to say about, you know, the fact that they're getting new fans.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, I've got no animosity towards them whatsoever. Salford, on the other hand, I can't fucking stand. I would burn that place to the ground. If people are in there, I mean, that's not...
And where do we live?
That's not where for me to say. We don't live near there, though.
We're in the city of Salford, though.
Yeah, but we're not... No, but we're not Salford City... We're not Salford City fans, though, are we?
Of course not, no.
Because, do you know how I know we're not Salford City fans? Because they've got none. You might have heard me whinge about this, but, you know, it's a playoff semi-final home leg. I get a ticket to the home end. It was the worst experience I've ever had watching football. They were completely backwards people. There was about 10 of them. They didn't even sell it out. Get the fuck out of it. So Salford, I hate it. If Salford got liquidised, I wouldn't care. Because they've got no fans to care about it. Nobody is going to be gutted that Salford go out of business. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
But Wrexham, there'll be a lot of people. As you see, because I've not watched season two, because why would I? Because County wasn't in it. But season one, you know, there's a lot of people in that place that really love that club.
Yeah.
So I don't hold any animosity towards them, because when you go to a game, because we went to the Wrexham game year before.
Yeah.
And they brought thousands. And that's like...
Yeah, they had all the railway end, didn't they?
Yeah, they had the whole of the railway end and the corner. Yeah. So this time they just had the corner. But they had an extra...
Title Stockport, that, innit? Could have definitely, like, given them the whole railway end again.
They could have done, but we sold it. It was a complete sellout, even though it didn't get to 10,000, which was weird. but the... So I don't have any animosity towards Wrexham, because I think when you've got a team, teams like that with big fan bases make games.
Yeah.
You know, championship teams, you know, outside of a few, every game is like that, where you've got, you know, quite a packed home end, quite a packed away end, you know, unless it's like, you know, Blackburn, and, you know, you're not selling a 30,000er out unless they're in the Premier League. But, you know, that's the way that goes, and... They're great games to go and watch. They're great games to be, like, a part of. So, you know, I don't have any ill will towards them, but to beat them 5-0 was particularly pleasing.
Yeah, it was wild, wasn't it?
It was amazing. That girl we saw showed me,
God,
and then
yeah,
Jack, me uni mate, sent me the picture as well. You tell it, because I don't think I'll do it justice.
Well, she posted a picture of herself, like, weeping, holding a ticket to the Stockport County match. She's from, like, Washington in America, obviously. And, yeah, she'd, like, flown over going, oh, you know, I'm a Wrexham fan, of course. It's like, oh.
But even said in that post, since watching the documentary.
Oh, yeah, and she tagged in the documentary. Yeah. So it was all about, you know, she's a fan of Ryan Reynolds. Just say you're a fan of Ryan Reynolds and you'll buy his fucking gin and you'll follow his team. Just say that. But yeah, I went down a rabbit hole looking at this poor bitch, this poor fucking bitch. All she's done is she's come over, she wants to visit Wrexham, and she wanted to get a ticket to watch him play. And the repost quotes and the comments were atrocious. It was a real, like, welcome
to
British
Wrexham.
Football.
Welcome to Wrexham, you fucking twat.
It was just like such a baptism of fire of, like, British fans. But, you know,
I mean, we go on about how toxic wrestling Twitter is.
Oh my God, football is something else. It's the next level. They didn't give a shit. But she was being a thirsty bitch.
She was being a thirsty bitch.
Yeah.
And from the looks of her, normally hungry bitch.
Oh,
now. No, I've got no sympathy for her. She was trying to play favours. And the fact that she got a ticket is... Because that, you know, it's an away game. Some of the Wrexham fans were in the home ends and getting kicked out throughout the game. So the tickets were in high demand. So she's got that ticket somehow by, like, you know, pleading to people, she knowing people who's given her a ticket. So I think she was fair game.
Yeah.
Because she was obviously trying to say, oh, here I am from America, look how great I am, I'm gone to a game. But then, interestingly, didn't post anything from in the game.
No, I know
there wasn't a lot for them to be happy about, but...
You'd post a picture. You'd post saying a picture you were there. Just of the pitch at the start. So...
Yeah.
Jury's out whether she went. I'm not sure.
So, like, one of the comments was fucking brilliant. That one where it was like, is it the MasterCard thing? Where it's like, you know, flight from Washington, 1,800. Bus from airport to Wrexham, $80. Sucking an old fan off for a ticket, $50. Getting twatted 5-0, priceless.
Yeah, it was great.
It was the best comment.
I do feel for her.
Do you?
Yeah, I do a little bit. Because I just think that having been to America and seeing how, like, American sports fans are, they're not nasty. There's no, like, vibe of nastiness. Even when they all kind of meet one another on the stairs on the way out of places, they're not bothered. They're quite nice, quite cool. British football fans, it's a different... They just don't find... Their hearts aren't warmed by stories like hers.
No.
It just pisses them off. Because it's like you're denying someone a seat.
But saying that, though, it's not so much because, like, the Wrexham thing, you know, they are holding 10% of their tickets back for international fans, which I think is a bit shit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's its own separate thing. But there's a county fan that comes from Japan. And he's been completely, like, embraced by
someone
everybody.
Did say that in the comments. They said it's funny how he gets the star treatment.
The Japanese guy?
Yeah, when he comes over and she is derided.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I mean, it's different circumstances because she's watched a TV show, like, which is a legitimate thing to do.
Yeah, but that's not my issue. Like, the Japanese lad who comes over, who most county fans know of and a lot know personally, doesn't go on Twitter holding a ticket, crying, pretending to cry. Yeah. That's the difference. Is if you're being false. And, like, you know, she had a picture of her outside the Welcome to Wrexham sign. You know, she's just doing these things for clicks, for likes. And when people do that, you can see through it. If she just posted a picture outside of Edgeley Park with the ticket going, shit, I got a ticket, awesome. Nobody would have said anything.
No.
But she's got somebody to take a picture of her pretending to cry. That picture of those lads in that pub.
I know.
It's that one by the train station.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. Or, I'm guessing the Wrexham fans, and they're all holding their tickets like pretending to cry. Amazing. But that's the thing. If you do something like that, you're asking for it.
Mm.
And when you've got British football fans, you're completely asking for it.
Oh, yeah, it's fair game, unfortunately.
Absolutely. So in the tweets that you saw him talking about the Japanese lad.
Someone mentioned him by name and said he gets the star treatment.
Yeah.
She's getting picked on.
And it's a similar kind of thing because he kind of, you know, in his own words, fell in love with County through Football Manager. Like picking a random team on Football Manager, out comes Stockport County. But then he came over, he's been over like 3 or 4 times to my knowledge, and I don't even look. But he doesn't post things like that, so that's why he's been embraced. And he comes over on his own, you know, stays with County fans now, you know, instead of getting hotels and stuff. That's the difference, because he's not trying to get a following. Yeah. Whereas she's obviously...
Trying to get on the documentary.
Trying to get a following,
let's be honest.
Of course she is.
She's trying to get noticed. She tags the team in, hashtags
Ryan Reynolds,
the show.
Tagging them all in. So, I've come from
trying
Washington.
To get on the show. Yeah. You're trying to get on the show, or you're trying to get like a shout out from the owners. Probably Ryan Reynolds. That's no offense to Rob McElhenney, but it's
sorry, Rob, but no one's asked about you.
Who gives a fuck? But like, that's you know what,
and that's why they went for her. And I think fair game. If someone's doing that, I have no sympathy. Is that a bad thing?
No,
do you think I'm a bit harsh?
No, you're fully. You're not. You're clearly not the only one.
It's fucking hilarious. But yeah, well, I'm sure she had a real cry after seeing some of them comments.
Mm.
I saw like the whale of Wrexham and all that kind of stuff, which
God.
I thought that was a bit too far.
Yeah, I saw a few kind of choice comments about it.
Yeah, but you're asking for it. Absolutely asking for it. Shall we? I'm trying to think if there's anything else I've got to say for myself. Don't think I have.
No.
Should we just get on with
it? Let's get on with it.
I don't quite know what we're going to talk about. Nor I've got I. two things that I can kind of say. So it's going to be a short one, this one, guys, because obviously, you know, it's quite late now and I'm feeling like shit. I'm hoping this thing comes back positive because I feel atrocious.
Well, I don't even know if we've got any tests. We need to check the cupboard and see if we've got some, or at least one that you can do.
Yeah.
And then if you've got it, I've probably got it.
You've got it, yeah. If you've got it, darling, I've got it.
This is it.
That's the way it goes. 219.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Bloody Christ. Bloody hell. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to your bi-monthly kind of about wrestling podcast, RTM. How are you doing? Hope you're all well. Hope you're all safe. My name's Andy.
I'm Gemma.
And here we go again, ladies and gentlemen. Flying by the seat of your pants, skipping through Dynamite, skipping through Collisions, ignoring Rampage. We're here for a good time. I have watched a little bit of SmackDown this week.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Which I think we'll get to.
Yep.
As have I, then. Yes, you've watched the exact same amount. Yes. Was it this week or was it last week? What day are we on? Sunday?
I don't have a clue.
Friday night SmackDown had been last week, wouldn't it?
What, as in, like, the Friday just gone?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't fucking know.
Well, we'll talk about The Rock anyway. Why not? While we're here. I did tweet saying about, you know, it wasn't a bad time to check SmackDown out, and got a few responses, which was funny. But yeah, should we start there?
Yeah, why not? Good place to start.
I mean, that was pretty intense.
It really was. It really was. And seemingly unexpected as well. Total surprise. I don't know, maybe. Maybe it was rumoured, but the crowd sounded shocked.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like... kind of surprised, yeah. Yelp on it.
Yeah.
But it just makes me jealous. That's the sort of shit. I love surprise entrance, and if I could guarantee that every show I went to had one, I'd go to them all. Because yeah. I just think they're so much fun. Like, that's one of the most fun parts of wrestling. Surprise. It's just surprises in general. That really is one of my favourite things. And it's like, you want to see The Rock, you want to see Austin, or we do, because we haven't.
Yep.
So, you know, that is like the dream, one of the dream ones to see come out.
Yeah, definitely. And it's the fact that they kept it quiet in this kind of time, I think was incredible. I mean, I don't know if they did, because I think he was on like Pat McAfee's show or some sort of show that Pat McAfee was on like the day before. So there was probably people putting two and two together.
Well, hadn't he said he was going to go back? Because you said, oh, Rock's well, was supposed to be... He was supposed to face Reigns at WrestleMania.
So he said that it was, like, locked in, and then something happened. But then I didn't... Because I couldn't be asked. Mm. Like, I didn't want to know why it wasn't. But they said that was what they were going to do. And probably still what they're going to do.
Yeah, it's got to be that, hasn't it?
I mean, it's the only thing...
It's not going to be Austin Theory, is it?
Well... No, not a fucking
It's defo.
Reason.
It's defo. Rock Reigns. If you're gonna get him back, it's gotta be. It's gotta be that.
Is it this year? That's the LA one.
That's been and gone.
The Hollywood one.
Yeah,
is that already happened?
That was this year, wasn't it?
Jesus Christ! Well, what's the next one?
It's somewhere. It's.
Is it London?
I don't mean to offend anybody, but it's somewhere that I wouldn't go. From what I can remember, I remember looking at it going, ah, yeah, I wouldn't holiday.
Is it WrestleMania 40? Is that the...
It should, yes.
Is it Philadelphia? It's got a big... Yeah, City, Philadelphia. 2024, Philly. I mean, Philly doesn't seem that bad.
Nah, you wouldn't holiday there.
Ah, you wouldn't even vacation in Philly, would you?
Not really. I'm sure it's a great city break, but, you know.
Yeah, if you were going on to somewhere else, like a Boston Orlando, or something after... Well, no, absolutely not. Yeah, so Philadelphia, does The Rock quarter go to Philadelphia? Who knows? But I do have some issues with the segment.
Okay, go.
I mean, everybody's seen it, so I'm not going to run down kind of what happens, but it was the fucking bleeping the crowd out for arsehole.
Oh, yeah, that was irritating.
And it's just like, so you got half the crowd going, you're a... And then it goes silent.
But is that not just because we watched it after the fact? Like, on the actual live one, it would have been...
No. So no, because they've got a delay.
Oh, fuck, right, okay.
Yeah.
Shit. That's
they've got a delay for that reason. So apparently, like, I read something that it was supposed to be... Because he's like A-Town. He was supposed to say A-hole.
Right.
But said arsehole. By mistake. And then, but now, like, if Austin, every time Austin Theory comes out, if the crowd want to do that chant,
yeah, they've got to bleep it out.
They've got
every
to bleep
time.
It out every time.
Why is it Americans, right? They can say bastard and not be bleeped. That's just fine. That's fine. Yeah. But yeah, asshole, they can't say. And they can say that they're pissed at each other.
Yeah.
What the
Call
fuck?
People bitch and all that
yeah,
kind of
what
shit.
The fuck? Why can't you say asshole? It's not even fucking. Is that even swearing?
I don't even know. But apparently, it was. It wasn't like them. It was the. It was Fox or whatever.
Losers.
And that's like Fox. They're parting shots of Fox because next year they're going back to USA with SmackDown.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like there was a bit of that that was thrown in there, but that was just like conspiracy theory.
I mean, we know The Rock does what he likes when he goes out.
Yeah.
He's done that before. Like, I think the last time he was it like WrestleMania 32 or something. Was it 32?
I can't remember.
I can't remember. There was one occasion
he always
where he
goes
came out
over.
And just done,
he goes just over by about 10 minutes.
Goes over, says what he likes, says things he shouldn't say. Because I remember him saying something last time. I don't know what it was, but you just thought, yeah, he shouldn't be saying that. But do you remember when he was trying to get CM Punk on the phone?
Oh yeah.
Like, you don't give a fuck.
It's like, I'll ring him right now.
Once he's on the stage, there's nothing you can do.
And what are you going to do?
Yeah, I just leave it.
Literally. Like, nothing. You're going to do absolutely nothing.
I'm going to fill up my glass.
Fill up your glass, sweetheart. So, yeah, so it was that was, like, really annoying. So that was, like, a soup. It didn't, like, dampen it, because obviously it's, like, The Rock. But that was pretty cool. Hearing the music go off, the crowd going absolutely ballistic. You know, and he actually, you know, got a bit physical. The camera angle wasn't great, because you saw him saying, hit me. but he gets the people's elbow in. I don't like the guy who I'm in the ring with on my side gets to do the people's elbow as well.
Yeah.
Like that's a bit like yeah. I could have done without Pat McAfee doing a people's elbow.
Still don't like him, you know.
No, he's just a frat boy.
That's why I just don't like anyone who's frat like.
Yeah.
Like creatures.
But like, it was funny, like Michael Cole, like was like, that really hurts. The people's elbow really hurts. It's happened to me. Like, I was like, Cole.
Shut up, mate.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, so that happened. And then obviously the final, the UFC WWE merger happened.
Mm-hmm. Gomez.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He's committing to that look, isn't he? He's committing
to the do-rag.
Well, he didn't wear the do-rag.
Was that fake?
It was a fake picture, sadly.
Oh, damn.
Sadly, because I saw the real picture.
Right.
Which really disappointed me. I thought he was...
It looked real.
I was really disappointed. Because when I saw that picture of him with a do-rag on, I was like, oh, Vince. Oh, my God. I mean, without getting too deep here on this podcast... I do find it quite fascinating when people are disgraced and have potentially criminal proceedings against them.
Which is apparently still going on.
Yeah. I find it really fascinating how some people get totally, totally, totally cancelled. And some people just...
Avoid it.
But like, they kind of like... There seems to be a pattern of... If you just show up bigger and bolder... And go, you're not cancelling me.
Yep.
You and refusing to be cancelled, not simpering, not apologising. I'm not saying this is admirable, by the way. I think Vince is a fucking creep. And I do think he's a sex pest. And he shouldn't be working.
No.
That's my thoughts.
Yeah, me too.
But can I still find him funny? Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's like Trump. It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, it's from that school of you're not cancelling me and just showing up anyway, even though
there's
people... Even though people expect that you would go away and hide and issue a faceless apology through a PR.
That's it.
That, you know, like, instead of doing that, you just come back and pretend it's not happening. And it's like, people, weirdly enough, respond quite well. Like, the public respond fairly well to that. More well than they do when they hide away. So it's almost like, shit, that's going to be what's going to start happening, I think, with people who get, like, I don't agree with cancelling people for everything. I mean...
But that's the situation we're in, because the thing is the people who have been cancelled and have gone away and have either not come back or have come back and it's not been the same or whatever, like the Louis C.K. thing, they made a public apology. So they admitted to what they were doing.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, your Trumps, you know, I don't even think Vince even commented on it.
No, I don't think so.
Who gives a
shit?
He kind
of just silently stepped away and then came back.
Yeah. And, like, but all the time we knew he was coming back because of all the reports saying he's trying to get back in.
He's
trying to do
this. He's been spotted at Raw. He's backstage and all that
stuff. he tore up a Raw script, you know, back to normal. But the thing with these guys is it is. And the way, like, I personally can't see why anybody would, like, champion these people. But we're living in a time when everything is outrageous. Everything is over the top. Like, cancel this person, cancel that person. And you can see why people would go, no, fuck you. You know, this is somebody...
I mean, you've got to be very powerful to be able to do that. And very rich. You know, you couldn't have your average Joe celebrity going, ah, fuck you, I'm just going to carry on anyway, because you'd probably just get stoned to death in the street.
But if their income is solely reliant on themselves, they absolutely can. Like, cause unless any criminal proceedings, like, come out, is Russell Brand going to be all right? Because he does his YouTube thing now.
Well, he carved a niche out for himself that quite handily said the media is a bunch of liars. So it works out quite well for him.
Works out well. But, like... You know, so people whose income isn't reliant on public opinion, because nobody's going to stop watching Raw because Vince, you know, has, like, sexually assaulted numerous people and paid them off and using WWE's money. Like, we as human beings can be like, oh, that's a reprehensible act, but, you know, Finn Balor's in the ring at the moment. What, you know, The Rock's just come out. What do you want me to do? You know, that's what you're asking people to say, because it's not quite, with somebody like Vince, it's not quite the case of, do you choose, you know, how can you separate the art from the artist? Vince is just the guy who's, like, owns or used to own the company. He's not Roman Reigns, you know. It's not like, or Roman Reigns, or, you know, Punk, for an example. Quite a lot of people turned off when Punk was on in the last few months because of all the shit that he was up to. That's like people talking with their wallets, you know, in quotes. Vince, like, if it came out that Vince had, like, murdered 20 people and, you know, done the most horrific things you could think of, Raw would still get the views, SmackDown would still get the views, because people don't associate now, I don't think. I think all these things that have happened have kind of pushed to one side Vince McMahon in people's brains. It's like, oh, the Attitude Era was great. Wasn't Vince great? Blah, blah, blah. But that's not WWE now. WWE's Triple H's or whatever people will want to tell themselves.
Yeah.
You know, Vince, there's nothing Vince could do that would stop WWE from getting ratings. Like, no one's going to
suddenly...
Yeah, it's
greater than the sum of its parts. Yeah. 100%. And he's a Harvey Weinstein-esque character in that people will still watch films, maybe even unknowingly made by the Harvey Weinstein, the Weinstein company.
Yeah.
Then people are never going to not watch those films. Yeah. And if the Weinstein company carried on and he hadn't have gone to jail, people would still watch the films because he's not in them. And you don't see him with your eyeballs. You don't feel like you're putting money in someone's pocket when you don't see him.
Yeah.
Whereas it's really easy to go, I'm never going watching a Kevin Spacey film ever again.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
That's
like, and people don't want to cast him because they don't want to be seen to be working with him. Whereas the people behind the cameras, they get away with it.
Unless you're some Italian B movie.
Yeah.
I saw a trailer for it. It was just like, wow. Ugh,
I know. Fucking hell.
Yeah, sucks.
But anyway, for a bit of levity, Gomez. He is committed to his tiny little pencil moustache.
He is.
He was wearing a lilac suit. He's definitely trying to... He's rolling back the years, Simply Red would put it.
I don't know if he's rolling back the years.
Well, he doesn't look his age.
I mean, dyeing your hair black and having a little pencil moustache doesn't.
It's
like,
it's midlife crisis, but it's end life.
Fucking
crisis.
BioShock's Andrew Ryan. That's what he is. The guy who fucking made the underwater world. And
it's a fucking.
Do you know what? Andrew Ryan from BioShock is not a bad comparison. You're juicing everybody up.
Yeah, sure.
Instead of handing out hypos, he's handing out steroids. You know, he's got a little golf club in his office that you've got your eyes on. Hey, anyone who play that game, they know what I'm talking about.
It's a good comparison.
That's what he looks like now. And it's just like, he just looks like a nutcase. But that's all the PR-y type things. That's what they always tell people to do. Like, just try and deflect something.
Change your look.
Yeah, so instead of UFC and WWE merge, Vince is there, how outrageous that Vince is there. It's... look at this absolute idiot.
Yeah. And I, funnily enough, Harvey Weinstein, to bring him back into it, he went the opposite way. So when he was in court, he tried to do everything to make himself look like a little old man. So he came in with a walker.
Right.
And said he couldn't walk properly. He was almost disabled. He was like playing the elderly, even though he wasn't fucking elderly at all. He's playing the elderly card. Vince has gone the other way.
Vince, yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm going to rejig my look, but we're going younger.
Yeah, we're going younger, and I'm going to look like a sex pest.
Oh, yeah.
But from, like, the 1940s.
It's fucking bizarre. Funny, though.
He's like pre-war sexual assault. that's what that
it's
look
fucking
is.
Fucking weird. It's
pre-war sexual assault chic.
And no one will say anything to him. No one would ever dare to turn around and go, you look fucking ridiculous.
Of course.
Because I would love to be that person who said... You
Vince,
look fucking...
Vince, what are you doing?
Vince, you look fucking insane. Are you all right, mate? What the fuck is that on your face? It's like you've got something just right there. Oh, fuck, it's attached. Shit.
Oh, fuck.
It's drawn on.
That's not the steak. That's not the rare steak you were eating. It's not like a bit of...
Oh, my God, what a prick. But,
yeah. So the UFC, WWE officially have merged now.
Yeah. what they called, like, fucking knockout.
TKO.
Shit. TKO.
Jesus. I mean, come on. Just call it Endeavour.
I know.
Like, I mean, that's bad enough, but TKO.
It's very naughty, is that. It sounds like we're in, like, 2001. We're combined, we're called TKO.
Well, that's when all these, like, celebrities were young.
Yeah.
So
true.
It was like, let's call it TKO.
Glory
like,
days.
Let's not call it TKO, but, you know, they have done. I thought it was interesting, like, outside the stock exchange thing, when they were doing it, they had like a UFC title and a WWE title, and it's just like, I was the whole time, like, because I watched like a 2 minute clip of like them ringing the bell,
mm-hmm.
and bits of interviews outside, and I just like look at Dana's face and he's just like, what?
I mean, it's,
the fuck is going on?
It's pretty, it's definitely a greater deal for WWE, like, to be seen again with UFC.
Yeah,
for UFC it is a joke.
Yeah, and
we're against these soap star dancers.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
fucking bizarre.
And he has said as much, like, in very, very recently, like, as in the last, like, 12 months, he's been like, these pussies over there. And that was, like, an actual line. And then that's when they all got pissed off, like, Reigns got pissed off and that kind of stuff. And I think we did. We were like, fuck off, you don't know, type thing. But he's just like, do you know that like glass-eyed look whenever he's getting asked a question about WWE? He's like,
God.
Should be good. Because like Endeavor, TK or whatever, like released a statement saying, this will be great, like synergy. It means that people can have like longer careers. Basically insinuating that people can go back and forth between the two.
Okay.
Even though we know what they really mean is, ex-fighters then can
go out to pasture to WWE to retire
and extend their careers a little bit.
The
WWE
retirement home
for
like, certain fighters.
Because the thing with like Connor is Connor's leg, we don't know whether he's going to be able to fight properly or not on that. So if he, you know, if he can't do that, and then Endeavour say, well, we'll pay your fight contract out, but you just work a couple of matches in WWE, that's what'll happen. They also said, like, I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody on the marketing team of TKO said they want every UFC fan to be a WWE fan, and every WWE fan to be a UFC fan. Yeah. And Dana White, the day after, said, "That's the stupidest shit I've ever heard."
Oh my God.
Like, on a, in, it was a press conference for the Contender Series.
Right.
And he was like, "That's the stupidest thing I've ever fucking heard. I don't know who came up with that.
Oh God.
Who thought that was a good idea?"
Going well, then.
Yeah, it's two different things. But he keeps saying, two separate companies still, you know, we're not the same. They don't control what we do. We don't control what they do. We're just going to carry on doing our own thing. Vince has got... Because, like, I saw loads of things of saying, oh, Vince has, like, got powers within UFC. Like, he can dictate some things in UFC. And Dave was like, no. Yeah, no, I can't go to their show and tell them what to do. He certainly can't come to my show and tell me what to do. Like, he was so outspoken with it.
Very
so
up.
There's been a bit of, like...
I'm not surprised. It's not great for UFC. It's not really the...
No.
It's not really a company I would align them with, even though, obviously, there are some similarities. It's not enough that I would put... I do think it's much better for WWE to be seen with UFC than it is the other way around.
Absolutely.
It's a little bit lame for UFC. Yeah.
And, like, UFC's pay-per-views have been selling unbelievably, even when they don't have a big star on it.
Mm.
And wrestling can't get anywhere near that.
And they don't even have pay-per-views anymore, do they?
No, well, WWE don't. But the, yeah, it's just a weird... After all the kind of comments and, like, theories were coming out of who was going to buy them, like, Disney was involved, Saudi Arabia was involved, everybody was kind of coming to the table. And then for it to be Endeavour who have been the ones who get the nod, it is a strange... I think from a fan perspective, it's one of the best things. Cause obviously,
oh, yeah, in comparison to the other deals, yeah. It's... As I say, it benefits WWE and WWE fans a lot, I think.
Yeah.
But not the other way around.
No, yeah, I don't think... You're not going to see... I mean, Brock Lesnar aside, you're not seeing wrestlers going into fight in the UFC.
No.
Because it's just it's a complete waste of time. Mm. Like, but seeing people like Adesanya... You know, Adesanya came out as doing the Undertaker entrance. You know, there is a bit of crossover with the fans and stuff. Like, they know who people are. Kobe Covington uses the Kurt Angle entrance, the Usyk thing. So there is a bit from their side of things as a bit of a crossover. But I still think it's seen as that's stupid, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But you'll see UFC fighters on WrestleMania and stuff like that and all that kind of shit.
Yeah, I think so. And you'll see probably wrestling WWE stars sat in the crowd of UFC matches,
yeah.
And it'll go to them, like, yeah. Sat in the crowd just watching, that sort of shit.
Is The Rock, like, part of Endeavor? Is he one of the backers?
I don't know.
Because, like, because The Rock's been to, like, loads of UFC events, obviously, because it's mint. And he did the BMF chat title thing, you know, wrapping it around the waist, that kind of stuff.
Well, maybe he is.
I assumed he was part of that Endeavor group, because isn't it, like, Matt Damon and...
Oh, shall I Google
and
it?
And a few others.
Endeavor.
I'm sure, like, Will Farrell's in it as well, and, like, what's his name? That talk show guy, Conan O'Brien.
Who are Endeavor? Let's see.
I'm dying.
Sorry, I'm just working my way through this article. Who are Endeavor? Endeavor was founded in 1995, became the Endeavor Group 2005, thanks to a merger with the William Morris Agency. Emmanuel's clients have included Oprah Winfrey, Martin Scorsese. That these are just the clients.
Right, so they're not the people who... I'm sure it's like a group of a load of celebrities and
yeah,
they've
I
all
thought
kind
it was.
Of pitched in a little bit of money like towards it. But yeah, it is weird. But like with any takeover, they've been laying loads of people off.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So we've got... For some reason, I can't find like an actual list of everyone that's been released. But there's been a lot of people who... You know, kind of fly under the radar. The biggest name from sort of yesterday, day before, was Dolph Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he'd not been on TV for a long time. So, you know, he didn't have any... It wasn't like a big surprise that he got kind of released. The one from today, though, would be Matt Riddle, is interesting.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Because I thought they were really, like, pushing him and...
Yeah, it's weird that, isn't it? I mean, we've not seen it in a while, so... But the last time, the, you know, it was that stupid fucking graphic with the birds coming out of his feet and all that shit with his little scooter coming in. So, yeah. And Vince found him hilarious, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange... I mean, he's had a bit of controversy in
his... I thought that had passed, though.
No, I don't think so.
Has it not?
No, I don't think it has. So, I wouldn't be surprised if they just want to distance themselves.
Oh, yeah, there was that thing he had at an airport, didn't he?
Like, yeah,
he
I just think there's like been a few things around him that haven't been great. But yeah. Do you know what that tells me? You know when we said ages ago about when they let people go and they do a ring round, and they ring them up? That just tells me they couldn't get hold of him yesterday.
Yeah,
he just ignored the phone. He got a text from someone going, oh, mate, I've been let go, don't answer the phone. And he's just avoided him for 24 hours.
Did you see that Emma one?
No.
So I didn't even know Emma was there again.
I remember her coming back, but I thought it was like a guest comeback thing. So yeah. I didn't know she was back.
Well, she was. And then they tweeted out that Elimination Chamber was going to be in Perth. And she quote tweeted it going, oh my God, the dream. And then literally 5 minutes later, she went, scrap that, I've just been released.
Oh, for fuck's sake, that's awful. That's really bad. Oh my God. That's so grim.
Yeah.
Did you see what Booker T said about Ziggler?
No.
He said, kind of saying it was unsurprising, he's been in cruise control for the last 10 years. It's like, come on, mate.
What the fuck
kick,
do you know,
kick a
Booker
guy while
T.
he's down.
I know, yeah. Cruise control. He's not been given
that's
anything.
What I mean, not by his own fucking choice. Like,
he was still smashing it. Didn't in that last like 10 years? It wasn't that the Survivor Series, or is that just over 10 years ago?
Survivor Series
where he survived and won the match for his team.
Can't remember.
When the fuck was
that? I mean, it was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But there's loads of wrestlers that got like that who don't do much. Yeah. You just bring them out. It's like, I don't know. I just think it's really weird.
It's an odd thing. I mean, the thing with like Booker T is he's constantly got to... Yeah, 2018. Well, that was when it was posted onto YouTube, so maybe not. 2014, I think, was the one. So he's you know, months away. You know, he's like, oh, he's been cruise control for 9.5 years. You know, it's all about the chances you get.
Mm.
The fact that he's been there another 10 years when he's not really done anything. Is testament to him, really. It's like The Miz, like, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if The Miz got let go, but then you'd be like, oh shit, The Miz has done a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they've managed to stay reasonably busy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think the Ziggler one, it's not surprising, though, because he has been there for fucking 20 years or something.
Yeah.
The Matt Riddle one, I mean, the question is now, that obviously flies around whenever there's releases, is that AEW's picking them all up.
But I mean, Ziggler.
I can categorically say, from my point of view, don't touch any of them.
But AEW are in a totally different place now compared to when WWE were first doing their releases, you know, when they really were scrapping. I feel like they've got to a good place. They've just had all that bullshit with Punk. I wouldn't be in a rush to... They've not released anyone who's big enough or good enough that would make any sort of, you know, they've done that before where they've just hastily signed people as soon as they've got released and then had nothing for them. And the poor cunts have been sat doing jack shit for
Dynamite this week, speaking of signing someone and doing fuck all with them, Keith Lee was doing an interview backstage wearing a one-piece hoodie, which I thought was hilarious. But, like, they fucked it up. As in, the beginning of it is like a, do you know, like a take...
Clapperboard,
like Collision or Dynamite or whatever the fuck he was on. They've got this clapperboard, take 22. He's like, take 22,
What, they screened that?
That was on. That was on the show. That was on the show. Because I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Intentionally?
No, not intentionally. That show, I can't remember what it was, but it was a fucking shit. It was a shit show. There was a lot of fucking stuff going wrong. And I was, and that's when I was kind of thinking, God, you guys need to tighten this up.
That's appalling.
I know football's on now and you're getting like 300,000 or whatever because of football. Yeah, it must have been a collision because it was a Saturday thing. I don't know, though. But it was... And the segment wasn't particularly... Like, it was one of the women interviewers, not Renee, the other one, but I can't remember what her name is. And two guys walk in and basically challenge him and walk off. It's like, wow, 22 takes.
That sucks to know that. Yeah, yeah. That's really embarrassing.
Yeah, really, really bad. So, you know, that's what happens when you sign somebody really quick and they're not in with Moxley and can just slip into the Blackpool Combat Club.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you were going to sign Ziggler, you're sticking with his brother. Because now he's now Punk's gone, his brother will be allowed to work again.
Well, that's what I'm. That's the only thing I'm thinking of. If they want, like, maybe a tag team. Maybe.
Can you see Ziggler doing that? Going, yeah. Oh, I'll come and tag with you, bro, for 12 months. Really?
I can. Why not?
I don't know. I can see him doing that.
I can see him doing that.
That's sad as all fuck.
Well, I don't think it's sad.
Yeah.
Why is it sad?
Because Nemeth is like... So Ziggler is like an ex-world champion.
Mm-hmm.
Nemeth is an ex-fucking Sunday Night Heat wrestler.
Yeah, but I mean, but if he cares about his brother, if they're really close, him being a free agent, he can potentially help his brother's career and he could, you know, they could have some decent... Do you know what I mean? It depends how he feels about...
Yeah.
I don't know. It depends how popular the guy was.
It's not something I'd want to see.
No, well, I mean, that's a different thing.
They've got too much going on Dynamite and Collision and whatever the fuck they put on Rampage these days.
Yeah.
To go, I'll tell you what, we'll hire Dolph Ziggler, who's a reasonably big name. Reasonable at the moment, he'd be a reasonable mid-card Orange Cassidy kind of match. Not bigger than Orange Cassidy, but like, he goes into that international title thing. But then to just have his brother with him, it's like, no.
I think his brother, though, I think if I was Nemeth, I know they're both called Nemeth, but yeah. If I was Nemeth, I'd be Nemeths. Thinking, shit, like, we could tag for a bit, then he'd turn on me, and then we'll have a singles run where we're going against each other. You know, like you can see how you could think, if you were him, this could be this could be how I elevate.
And
if,
that's the problem.
Dolph, no, I know, but if Dolph's like, yeah, fuck it, you know, if they're offering me a contract,
yeah.
I'm not saying that that's perfect and that's great, but I could see it happening.
Yeah.
I can see it playing out that way.
See, the problem with that is the fan reaction, because the fan reactions recently have not been great.
For
just AEW in general.
Oh, okay.
So, they had, for some reason, they started to do a thing, and I saw it and was just like, oh my God, but I didn't see the match that came out of it. Is FTR seemed to be doing like an open challenge thing for their tag team titles. And they did it against someone, and I don't even... Oh, it was, you know, like Bear and Boulder, but now they're not called that, they're called something else. And it's like, how are you guys getting an AEW tag team title match? And then after that match, two guys came out.
Yeah.
So one of them was JD Drake, who was like, used to be with the Wingmen. And I think they're still called, like, the Horsemen or something.
Right.
I don't know what they're called. But JD Drake and some other guy, who I've never seen before. Never in my life have I seen him wrestle or have I seen them wrestle. Apparently, according to some like thing that I read, JD Drake's had two televised matches in AEW and he's been there for like 3 years. He's usually on Dark, like he's a bigger guy, he's an old school kind of wrestler. The crowd started chanting, "Who are you?"
Oh.
And they're the tag team champions. It's not a good look. Like, don't put them in that situation. So I think at the moment is that after all the Punk stuff,
yeah,
I think Khan's had a bit of a breakdown because the shows look weird and they don't look...
It sounds like he's not there.
Well, I don't know about him not being there because I'm sure he is there, but he's definitely not like... paying. He's not in a good place because there's a lot of like booking decisions that are just a bit strange. Because he's spinning like 25 different plates. Like there's a pay per view in like a week. I don't know if that's Wrestle Dream. I don't even know what it is. That's the problem. I don't even know what the next pay per view is. But no. I know there's one in a week.
Yeah, that's mad.
Because I read something where I was like, "There's a pay per view in a week," but he didn't say what it was. And he's spinning all these fucking plays. You know, he had All In, and then All Out the week after, then Grand Slam. You know, it's just all too much. It's far too much. And Grand Slam, you know, the first time they did Grand Slam, they got like 18,000. I think they got about 6 this time. And it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
The ticket sales don't look like they're going well.
You're going to take a hit, I think. And I'm not like defending them because it sounds like they are making weird decisions. But the CM Punk thing is rattling. It's rattling for everyone. It's rattling for the fans, everyone who's there. There'll be some people who will be fucking elated to the point of like pure giddiness, and there'll be some people who are like just unsettled by the whole thing, the fact that there was trouble backstage. And and then Khan, like he put his reputation on the line signing that guy. You know, this is coming out of like 18 months worth of telephone conversations and meetings. And you know, to have to fire him so that you don't have to pay him his contract. That's the whole point that the lawyers are involved going in. And the language was so particular about how he has been fired because he fucked up.
Yeah.
It's fucking embarrassing. And it's not just embarrassing to us droogs watching it at home. It's every cunt. It's the networks who are fucking moving shit around so he can have a show on Saturday night.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. He's the one who's got to answer for it. And I can understand if he's just probably just needs a fucking holiday and just a bit of a chance to regroup and just be like, right, because he always said, didn't he, Khan, that he lays out stories like 12 months in advance.
Not anymore.
Well,
yeah, he's not done that for a year.
Do you not reckon?
No. Yeah. No, because that stopped as soon as he started signing like shitloads of people.
Yeah, that's true.
Like that's like his favourite wrestlers. Like that stopped as soon as that started. So when he was doing when AEW, in my opinion, was at its best, was the sort of post COVID. You had all these storylines. You had the lead up to the Hangman Page world title win against Omega. That and you had the you know the Dark Order thing where they came out with him.
Yeah.
You know, they were really long term like storylines. And now you've got all these guys who are just kind of sat there doing anything. Like, Andrade's not been on the show for ages. Apparently, Collision this week, he was against Jay Wyatt, which is, you know, a pay-per-view match for free on TV. So if you're not watching that, then you're not watching anything. Apparently, Christian Cage won the TNT title off Luchasaurus by pinning Luchasaurus.
Oh,
so that's like... Great. Like I don't know how it happened, but it was like a triple threat match, and I thought that would be where they may go. It was him, Darby Allin, and Luchasaurus in a triple threat match, and they obviously 2-on-1 Darby Allin, and then he's just you know did Luchasaurus lie down? I don't know. I've not seen it, but I can't wait to fucking see it because Christian Cage is like must see at the moment with all that like but your father's dead shit. It's just the funniest shit, really bad, but like the funniest stuff. So yeah, I just don't. I think AEW's at a point where they're like the spread's so thin, but they've got a lot of people.
Yeah.
And he even said because like I don't know whether it was the last pay per view or it was one of them where they were saying about Sonny Kiss. He got asked about Sonny Kiss being released, and he was like, "Well, I can't keep everybody."
I didn't know Sonny Kiss had been released.
Yeah, yeah. So a few people got released,
right.
But it was really quiet, and it was only like 2 or 3.
Okay.
And of course, well, we can talk about Cargill maybe at some point. But like, she didn't get released. She just didn't re-sign. But like, he's not done like a mass layoff, and he needs to do a mass layoff. Because the thing we like WWE is the people who always get released, there's sometimes a few shocks in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh my God, you know. And like Cody obviously didn't re-sign and moved over. The Elite have just re-signed. Cargill is looking like she's going to move over to WWE.
We always said that.
But she can't do what they did in AEW with her. So like she was probably outside of like, well, Moxley even loses more times, but she was probably the most protected wrestler on the roster. Went on that massive unbeaten run, had the title, lost it, was off for, you know, a few months, came back, did the job again, got beat by Statlander again, and then was like waving to the crowd, bye. So she's not going to get that protected in WWE. No. She's going to have to wrestle most days. The schedule's going to be insane. Apparently for her big like title matches, they had weeks where they were going over spots and over and over, yeah, and over. She can't do that in WWE because they got their time to go over the spots will be the house shows. So she's going to have to, you know, sink or swim with that. Yeah. But I'm not saying she can't do it because I think, you know, she's gigantic. She looks like somebody that WWE would be like completely falling all over. But really, she needs to go into NXT, but because of her star power on AEW, because she did move numbers.
Yeah.
She's not going to do that. She'll go straight onto Raw, and
it might be
tough.
We'll see.
But yeah, I wouldn't touch any of them with a barge pole. Like, what do you need Dolph Ziggler for?
Well, no.
Apart from a bit of nostalgia. Do you know what I mean? Like, what do you need Matt Riddle for? He's another guy who's going to cause you fucking headaches.
Yeah.
Because he's either, you know, allegedly smacking people around or he's getting arrested in an airport when he's pissed. So you don't need him. You don't need any of the other people who have been released. You don't need Mustafa Ali. Apparently was supposed to be having a match with Dominic Mysterio for his title that he's got, his X Division. Christ, don't need to talk about that. He's all Atlantic, all American, whatever the fuck it's called in NXT, the title that he's got. They were supposed to be having a match like next week and he's been released. And they've been building to this, like,
ridiculous.
You know, again, it's another thing of like one hand's not talking to the other.
Yeah.
But yeah, you don't need Emma. You don't need Mustafa Ali. You know, you've got like the House of Black you never use. You've got Miro you hardly use. You've got Andrade you hardly use. What you need to do really is a bit of a cull.
Yeah, you're right. No, it definitely needs cleaning out a bit. Which is a bit, you know, it's something that I'm sure Khan is not a fan of doing. But he's got to start getting a bit more brutal if he wants to increase those viewing figures and get more people bums on seats. The quality needs to be there.
Yeah.
And the more people you've got, the fucking shitter it is. When you're trying to give them all the rub and trying to get them all on the show.
Yeah.
To the point where some weeks you'll see the champions and some weeks you won't see the champions.
Yeah,
or some.
Yeah.
It's like, no, the most popular people, you know, depending on their contract, need to be on the show every fucking week.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure Bryan Danielson's on a mad contract where he doesn't work every week. I'm sure he is. But
he is on the show every week.
But you need to see
Collision,
people like that.
He had again, not seen him, but he had a hardcore match with Ricky Starks. Again, so he's on the show every week. Moxley's had his, you know, his vacation time pushed back for about 3 years. You know,
well, at least he's with his wife now, and I presume they've probably got the kid there. He just fucking lives there.
Well, he only has to do either a Wednesday or a Saturday. Usually they don't do both. So that's where that's a good thing, because, you know, they do have a lot of time off in between. They're not doing house shows, you know, but it's just you've got JD Drake and whoever the fuck he's with going against FTR, and you've got Miro not even on the show, and you know that's the thing that I think starting to rub people the wrong way.
Yeah,
because House of Black's not on the show, but Julia Hart is. She's having a match against Willow Nightingale. You know, two people which, you know, no fault. You know, Willow Nightingale's probably got the best entrance music outside of Omega in the biz at the moment. But nobody wants to see Willow Nightingale against Julia Hart for no reason, and Andrade sat in catering. I know Andrade was on the show, but I'm just using him as an example. Yeah. You know, like Dark Order are on the show, which, you know, Dark Order are kind of the originals, you know, people love them as a tag team, but they're on the show, Miro's got a vignette. It's not, because they're the ones, you know, because you go off people who have got to lose, but in doing that, because you've got so many people, you've got all these people who can't lose, and then you've got, you know, oh, I've not been on the show for 3 weeks because apparently I can't lose, like Keith Lee.
Mm.
Like, when was Keith Lee's last match? Like, I don't know what it was. Was it? And there was a time when he was just on Rampage. Like, no fucker watches Rampage. And this is Keith Lee. You know, the guy who had all that momentum coming out of NXT, and it's just been squashed dead. So you're going to have to start him from the beginning. It's just weird. Yeah. It's so weird. But yeah, don't sign anybody.
Yeah.
Because you can't sign everyone, can you? Can't.
No.
But he will. He'll sign a few.
Yeah, I think he will. Because he's a fan of the surprise too. Like me.
Jesus Christ. Got to the point where it was like a surprise every week.
Yeah, and then you wouldn't see him again for weeks because there was no space for him.
That cold Ruby Danielson. Soho. Yeah, Ruby Soho was just like running around the ring after Paige.
I know.
It's like, you know, the Danielson, Adam Cole, like back to back, it was like, right, this is too much.
Yeah.
This is too much now. It was amazing, don't get me wrong, but it was like, holy shit.
It was
this
fucking
is like,
wild.
All this fucking new talent's like flying at you and then you don't see them. And do you see that Cole might have injured his leg?
No.
So like, on Grand Slam, they had Samoa Joe and MJF. Cole comes running out to like help, and they had the stage really high. And Cole jumped off the stage to the side because he needed to get round the ring. But there was no way to get down, like, steps-wise. It was just that ramp that goes to the ring. So he jumped off to come running round to the other side to distract the ref and fucked his ankle.
Oh, my
God. To the point where he was hopping. He was, like, hobbling around. I was like, Jesus Christ. There's one extra thing we don't fucking know. Anyway. Do you want to tell me about Jericho in London?
Yes. So, in lieu of watching any wrestling for this wrestling podcast, I listened to Talk is Jericho episode where it's just him, got no guest. And the episode title of it is... Hang on, I'm going to find it for you. It's not SpaceX and the Flat Earth Theory. No, it wasn't that. It's not nor is it The Hunt for the Loch Ness Monster.
Holy shit, that's the... He's literally got a... Oh, God.
It's CJ Goes All In with Will Ospreay and Fozzy is the episode from the 6th of September.
So you'd think he'd have CJ on the show, wouldn't you? But
he's talking about himself.
Oh, not CJ Perry.
So I thought the same, because I was like, "What? Who the fuck's CJ? I was like, it's you. It's me.
That's really funny.
It's me.
Why would he do that?
He's fucking... Well, it was a really good... It was a really good listen, actually, and he just makes me laugh. He's so, like, it's just how flippant he is about everything, but yet he places so much emphasis on it, but he's trying not to be, like, he's trying to be really cool about stuff. But he did spend a bit of time, he went through, like, the run-up to All In. I always want to call it All Out. All In. And he was talking about his run-out on Rev Pro. You know, he got a spray tan on the fucking day of the show, of All In. Because he was saying, he went, oh yeah, I had to go find a place in London that there's not as many places in the UK that you can go and get a spray tan. And he went and got a spray tan, and he said, in the car on the way back, he said, oh, I was starting to get really antsy because the place was starting to, people were starting to come in, fans were starting to come in. It's like, as if you're going for a fucking spray tan on the day, on the fucking morning, you dick. He was talking about...
Fucking spray tan.
He was talking about Rev Pro, and he said, like, an interesting thing about when, you know, he was making a meal out of all his stories, but he said an interesting thing about when he was in the ring, or obviously he's in a mask.
Yeah.
And then he said, oh, instead of whipping the mask off really fast, I took it off really slow, because I was in a match once with Rey Mysterio, and I whipped the mask off really, really quickly.
Right.
And Vince McMahon said, don't do that again. You need to take the mask off very slowly. front of the crowd. I disagree with that. I disagree with it. Because, because everybody knows after a few seconds who's in the ring and who's in the costume. Yeah. And I do think when they whip it off really fast, that's more impactful than doing it as though no one knows who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think like the fast whip off of a mask is much better than peeling it off slowly.
Really slow, yeah. Yeah.
But he said that when he was on his way out of the ring at Rev Pro, he was ignoring the fans who were like trying to get his attention. He's like, he said, I was knocking people's phones out of their hands. And he said, which I wrote down, he said, don't send me a bill for your phone. Wait, I can't. Let me try and phrase this in the way that he said it. Don't send me a bill for your phone. I won't pay for it. You should know what you're dealing with when it's the uncaged animal that is Chris Jericho.
The uncaged animal.
I know he third-personed himself a lot through it. And he was talking about, obviously, All In. He went into it in detail. He said that Will Ospreay asked him if he could talk through the match in Chris Jericho's own private dressing room for the match, and he said, "And I allowed it," kind of thing.
What? So he let Ospreay call the match.
He let Ospreay come into his own private dressing room at Wembley, whatever stadium.
Right.
And then so they both got ready together and sort of like planned the match out.
Right.
He kept doing fucking Will Ospreay that night, bruv, and all that shit. He was saying you can't get a decent coffee in the UK as well. They don't give you a cup that's big enough because they have pints, don't they, the size of your head.
Yeah.
He did address the Punk situation.
Did he now?
He didn't in great detail, but he said, you know, it was really unfortunate. And he said, I did talk to Punk very briefly on that day. And he said, right, I'm going to get this wrong, but I wrote it down as I heard him say it. He said he was doing the Frankensteiner. He said he was doing the Frankensteiner, and he said he went over to Punk and said, because he said Punk sometimes does it, he asked him, are you doing it in the match, your match, because I'm going to do it in my match. Punk said, no, go for it. He said, then I told him I was doing the GTS with a straight face. He said, joking, of course, but I think he thought I was serious.
Of course he did.
I love that. That's so Jericho, isn't it? It's like, that's why you're a fucking dick. You're a dick, mate.
He is a dick.
He's such a fucking dick.
And you know, like at that point, you know, Jericho. Punk's not been picked up. He's not been like, you know, he's been fucked with a little bit, you know, beforehand. So he probably just wasn't in the mood for Chris Jericho coming up to him and saying he's going to do the GTA. Yes, he should have fucking done it.
Yeah. I know, he said Punk just stared at him. He said, and I did it straight face. I just like the idea of them both blinking at each other for a good few seconds.
Jericho would have been like, I'm joking, Punk, I'm joking. Oh, baby! As he's walking off.
So while he was in London, Fozzy played a gig.
Biggest show he's ever done, apparently.
Yes, the one at some place like before the show.
Yeah, it was like 500 people or something.
His aim was to sell 1,000 tickets. They've never sold 1,000 tickets to a Fozzy gig before. And they sold 1,003. So he was buzzing. He was absolutely buzzing. He was like, it was the biggest selling show they've ever done. And they had AEW, like there was an upstairs bit to it, so they hired that out for AEW people.
Right.
And what wrestler did he say was there?
So he got like a bit upstairs for the wrestlers if he wanted to come.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to see who was actually there.
There was someone, it wasn't Ray Phoenix, I'm sure it wasn't him. There was someone
who was... Penta?
It might have been Penta, but it was Penta who told him, who came to that gig and who told him to do the Freddie Mercury thing when he was at Wembley with Fozzy.
Really?
Yeah, so whoever it was, it might not have been Penta, it was somebody though. I can't fucking remember, I'm really sorry. But I got the impression that that was the only wrestler who came to the Fozzy gig.
Yeah, because I think he would have said, if like Moxley was there, he would have said like Mox was there, Brian was there, they were all there.
Yeah, no, they weren't.
No, they absolutely weren't.
He was talking about the show being All In, being like the biggest kind of ticketed event. And he's like, oh, you know, and like, what's the other one? You know, there's WrestleMania 32. And he said, oh, I got a text off Mox actually saying like, hey, dude, you know, we were at both of the biggest.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Mox isn't texting anyone.
Imagine that, Mox going, hey Chris.
Hey Chris.
Guess what?
How's it going?
As if Jericho weren't already aware, painfully aware of that fact.
Jericho would have texted him saying, you do realise what this week is, don't you? And he'd be like, what, dude? And for 5 days, he'll have been like, trying to drop little hints, and then Moxley would have replied going, oh yeah, we were on both those shows, yeah, weren't we?
100%.
And he's like, yeah, man.
And he was talking about it, he was really like proud of it all. He said it was great.
Yeah, I think he should have been. He had a very good match with Ospreay. I think it's impossible to have a bad match if you're going against. I think I could have a good match with Ospreay.
They wanted longer. They didn't have very long.
No, they didn't.
But then he went on to say that it doesn't actually matter how much time you've got. You could have a great 2-minute match. So he just contradicted himself.
Yeah.
But they had 15 minutes apparently, which isn't very long, really.
No.
And he was saying that. So obviously Fozzy got to perform, and he was saying that we performed at Wembley Stadium. It was amazing. Oh, he said another thing earlier on as well, which made me laugh.
He didn't even get through the whole song though, which was just hilarious.
Well,
yeah.
When he was talking about the Rev Pro thing and saying about being a special guest, and he's like, I didn't get paid for that. I said to Ospreay, shall I do it? And Ospreay was like, oh my God, like, yeah, it'd be amazing, yeah, yeah, of course.
Well, that's Ospreay's kind of company.
Yeah, because Ospreay was like, I wanted to ask, but I didn't want to be cheeky and ask. And he's like, no, I really want to do it. And he's like, oh, you know, I love like surprises, and like when people come out on stage, he's like, you know, say like Fozzy's on stage and James Hetfield comes and joins us. He's like, not that that's ever happened, but you know, hey, James, if you're listening, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sure he is listening, Chris. I'm sure he is.
But he said, he went, oh, a fan sent me something and I've shared it on my Instagram. Let me just find it. And I've got it up here. So he's like reposted this shit graphic that this fan's put together. And it says, Aerosmith, Fenway Park, 38,700. The Beatles, Shea Stadium, 55,000. AC/DC, Donington, 72,500.
Let me just stop you.
Fozzy, Wembley Stadium, 81,035.
No, that does no.
And his thing is, I'm running with it, is what he commented. And he actually added Wembley Stadium as well, which I thought was quite
That's
cute.
That's really funny.
Yeah, very funny.
Oh my God.
I know, he is.
I mean, I know he's kind of doing it as like a tongue-in-cheek kind of thing, but you also know that he's not. It's like, on the outside, he's like, oh, you know, yeah, we played one song, yeah, whatever. But the inside is like, Fozzy fucking headlined.
Well, he said, it's like my dad said, no one asks how you scored the goal, they just ask how many goals you scored.
Is that what he said? Of course he fucking did.
But when he went to that Rev Pro thing, he said he was like kind of, because he wanted to keep it as secret as possible, he just kind of sat in an office.
Right.
But he brought his wife and his dad to the Rev Pro.
To Rev Pro, Jesus Christ.
Oh yeah, he was quite proud of himself. But he was talking like, you know, I thought it was going to be in some like tiny like community hall. He said there was actually like 4,000 people there. It was a big show for them.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think he was a bit surprised at the size of the show.
Well, it's the same as when, you know, people go and tag on to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Like a lot of indie shows were running shows that week. And it was the night before, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
And Ospreay was like on it.
Mm-hmm.
Defending, I think, the British title that he's got, that he's carrying around in New Japan at the moment. But yeah, I thought it was great. And it's one of them things, like, when I saw that he did it, I was like, of course he did that. Because he loves to, like, think that he's giving back.
But there's a part of him as well, because he was on the podcast, he was like going, oh, you know, people said we didn't have enough build up to, me and Ospreay didn't have enough build up to it. But I disagree. I think we did have enough build up to it. And then when he starts talking about Rev Pro, he's like, you know, and I did it because people said we didn't have enough build-up, so it just added to the build-up. It's like, so he listens to criticism. Yeah. He doesn't accept it, but he kind of does at the same time. He does accept it, he does listen, he does try and fix it, but he won't admit it.
No, and he's basically saying, like, I think you're wrong, but because of that, I did this.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, going on about, like, starred matches as well.
Oh,
he's like, I don't know what I need to do to get a 5-star match and all this shit.
I mean, unfortunately, nothing has to go wrong in Jericho now. Things go wrong in his matches. Yeah. So
he did say a funny thing. He said that I think maybe it was Dave Meltzer had put out some sort of like tweet or something saying, which match out of All In do you think was the best match? It might have been Meltzer, maybe it was. And he was like, and you know, 150 people thought our match was the best match, so that's something. I was like, 150 people, Chris, come on, please don't even say it.
it was a good match, but it wasn't in the same league as, you know, the fucking the Cole MJF arc. You know, it just wasn't. So I mean, the thing with like with Jericho is his ego is such. I'm dying, by the way.
Are you really ill?
I'm proper dropping.
Right, well, we're going to try and find some.
I don't know what the fuck I'm going to have to do.
Well, let's find tomorrow. Some COVID. We should have some COVID tests.
I'm starting to panic because, like, my chest is going because I can't have another day off. I've only had a couple, though, and I don't really care. So
well, there you go.
The thing with Jericho is he's got... Oh, it's just completely thrown me.
You said his ego is
yeah. So his ego is such where he knows he's not the best in the room anymore, but he is at being Chris Jericho, and he thinks that. And I don't necessarily disagree with him. And as soon as they mentioned that Wembley show, we said to each other, Fozzy are going to be fucking doing it. There's no way he's not going to have Fozzy, and he's going to say he did Wembley, which is exactly what he's done.
Yep.
You know, I think in the grand scheme of things, as far as like wrestlers who you can get on with, like obviously put the whole Punk situation, you know, is what it is. And you didn't say anything. You said anything about him getting fired.
No, he said, oh, you know, it was an unfortunate situation. He was like, but you know, as far as last shows go, it's not a bad last show to do.
Yeah, yeah.
So that
absolutely.
Was what... He just talked about the really fucking... What sounds like a terribly awkward interaction he had.
Oh, that was so funny. But like, but the thing with Jericho is he seems like a very, very easy guy to get on with.
Mm.
And he obviously cares a lot about wrestling. And I think if you were, say... You know, Sammy Guevara is obviously in with him, but if you were like, you know, I'm trying to think of like a Keith Lee or somebody like that who isn't getting much time and obviously wasn't on All In or All Out, if he turned up at that Fozzy gig, maybe he's going to get on TV a little bit more. And that's the thing with somebody like Jericho is he holds a lot of power, but I do think he's very easy to work with.
Yeah.
Like, I think as long as you don't, like... piss him off.
I think he's come from like that old school thing, wrestling thing of like treating other people with respect. You know, they all have to do that weird handshaky in WWE. I think if you respect him and kiss his ass a little bit, I think that's kind of the minimum he's expecting from you.
Yeah.
And I think any disrespect would be quite detrimental to your relationship with him.
Yeah.
I think you would have to go to the Fozzy gig, tell him afterwards how amazing it is, they are.
Yeah, if I was in like that situation, and I was in London, like, and I just, you know, say you had like a battle royal or something like that, I'd be at that Fozzy gig.
Same, yeah. Like, you'd be thinking about your career. If you were slightly ambitious, then for sure, you do that shit, don't you?
Yeah, just because I don't necessarily. I know Jericho's got a lot about him that's wrong, but I don't think he's that bad of a guy. Like, you know, obviously he's got differences of opinions as far as like politics and all that kind of shit, but I don't think he's that bad of a person. Like, I think there's a lot of stories of Jericho trying to help people, and so like I think he'll be very easy to get on with, and I think he's one of them guys who wants to be in the in the locker room. He wants to like help people. He wants, you know, whereas Punk like said that's what he was going to do. I think Jericho has proven that that's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did the job for Cassidy. He's done jobs in the points where you want him to do jobs.
Yeah.
And he's like, whereas like Punk's always had this weird like thing, and you know, saying, oh, Moxley didn't want to lose and all. It's like Moxley loses all the time. Mm-hmm. We know that's bullshit. He just doesn't want to
chip on his.
He just doesn't want to lose to you because you're a prick.
Yeah.
Like that's why Moxley. Did you hear about Moxley actually?
No.
So Moxley beat Orange Cassidy for the All Atlantic Championship.
Right.
He had a thing that they built up for like weeks of going against Rey Fénix, and he was supposed to win, and he got concussed in like the first minute.
Shit.
And because of that, Rey Fénix does his finisher, which is like a pile driver, which didn't do anything. His head never touched the floor. But and I've only watched like the end of it, like because like a few clips were going up for the end of it. So Moxley in the ring calls that Fénix should be winning, and says to the ref, "I'm fucked." And he kind of come up, and the commentators apparently said that he looked dead glassy eyed. It's like because he was legit concussed. Like Fénix did like a splash off the stage and landed on his head, and then he went back and smacked his head on something. So he does the pile driver, pins him, the ref goes 1, 2 and doesn't count the 3.
Oh.
And the whole crowd started booing, and Moxley goes fuck you to the ref.
Oh my
like,
god.
Like while he's on his back, like he opens his eyes because obviously he's got his eyes closed.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's how they do it. Axel's favourite pet peeve. You know, he's got his eyes fucking closed, and the ref doesn't count the 3 and he doesn't kick out. And he Moxley just looks at the ref and goes, fuck you. And then Fénix picks him up, does the pile driver again. And then the ref goes, 1, 2, 3.
Jesus you know, Christ.
So Fénix is now the international champion.
Oh, fuck.
And he shouldn't be. And it's just like, that's... now Moxley needs a fucking vacation. Let him have a month off.
I know, seriously. Seriously.
He's bailed that company out so many times. Like, with all the Punk shit. Mm. You know, fucking taking the title when he wasn't supposed to be getting it, going against Tanahashi. You know, he's bailed him out time and time again. Moxley saved that show so many times by people getting injured or, you know, Punk being a bitch. Like, and then Moxley's the first one who he goes to and goes, mate, please.
Yeah.
And he'll go, yeah, sure. Give him a month, give Renee a month, and then bring him back, like,
yeah,
you know, fucking early November. Like, just bring them back then. But then you've got all these pay-per-views and it's, you know...
It's tricky, and it's never a good time.
No, you can't have your top guy off.
There was one last thing on the Jericho podcast.
We saved the best a lot.
No, I haven't. I just remembered it. It's actually not. But I can just imagine it. So, like, before everybody travelled to London, they had a mass company-wide Zoom everyone on to go through like guidelines here, you know, this is what you're supposed to do, here's what you need to do. And Jericho kind of insinuated that when all that was over, he had the last word of like, just enjoy yourself, guys.
Yeah, of course he did.
Idea of it being like legal and everything, and they're all being dead serious, and he's like, just have fun, guys.
That's so funny.
You've got fucking probably Punk chewing a wasp and fucking in the top corner of your screen.
Punk probably wasn't even on it.
Probably not, no. Probably not.
So the more I think about this Punk situation, and I know this is like, you know, old news now, but the more I'm like coming over a little bit to your side of feeling a little bit sorry for him.
Yeah, I think he was bullied.
Because he was obviously targeted, wasn't he?
Yeah, fucking 100%.
I listened to that that Cody and Jericho on his cruise
again.
And Cody was like, oh, you know, people, you know, they say the locker room leaders.
Oh, yeah, that
nobody
one.
Says that. and then Jericho goes, hey, dude, do you remember when CM Punk did that? And like Cody just goes... I was trying to not say it. And he's like, and he went, fuck it, it's my cruise. See, CM Punk did it.
Oh my god, that's fucking crazy.
And he said, like, which I completely forgot
fuck
about.
Fuck it, it's my cruise.
And he went, there was only one, like, actual locker room leader, and it was Kane. Like, obviously, fucking gigantic guy, but dead quiet, but if you said something, you'd fucking do it. He said that one time, like, they were having, like, a meeting, and... it wasn't Vince, but it's like they have somebody else come on and talk. It's like some HR guy or something. and he's talking about picking up trash. And Jericho was like, oh yeah, do you remember when like they had that thing of like, you know, pick up your trash? And Punk said, as the locker room leader, pick up your fucking trash, guys, Christ. So Booker T got everybody's trash, everybody's, Chris packets, all this kind of shit, got it in a bag, went over to Punk and just dumped it at his feet.
Oh my god.
Booker T just like fucking
I'd
there's
love to see some of this shit.
There's
you know?
My trash, you piece of shit.
I'd love to see shit like that. I think there's
Do you know what though? From what it sounds like, because I listened to a few things like that,
yeah,
of where people were talking about Punk, because I just got down a rabbit hole. He is the whipping boy.
I think he's got mental health issues.
Yeah.
And I think that makes him have this false confidence, and it makes him come across a way that perhaps he's not intending to, or it makes him behave in a way.
Yeah.
That I honestly believe it's a mental health thing, and I think it's like the shit you see at school.
Yeah.
It's like the shit where you've got that overly confident dweeb who puts their head above the parapet and then they become a target for the rest of school.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Booker T collecting, literally, like, Jericho was saying, like, Booker T dumped it on the floor, like, just threw it on the floor. But then I saw another one, because I typed in, like, Booker T, CM Punk trash. And I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody like Blue Meanie or something like that, somebody, like, lower down. And he said, like, Booker T was going around, like, asking people for their shit.
Oh my god.
And he was like, anything, if you've got like a dirt. He was asking for dirty undies.
Oh my god.
But he went up to Punk and just dumped it at his feet. And apparently Punk cleaned it all up and binned it.
Oh, Jesus wept.
And that, you know, your heart bleeds a little bit for that. But then,
I do feel a bit sorry for him. I really do. I don't.
The car thing is bad.
He's not a person I'd get on with. I know that. No. I just don't think. I think he's too affected, and I think he's. He just behaves in a certain way that I just don't think, as a straight talking person, I don't think I could tolerate him. However, I do think that he was picked, I think he was bullied out of there, and he was made to behave badly. He was pushed, they knew how to push his buttons to get him to fuck up.
Yes, absolutely.
And they were successful, they got him to fuck up.
Big time. And Perry must have been in on it. Like, they must have been feet. After him and Perry had that thing about the glass, the Bucks must have gone up to him and said...
Not even that. I think sometimes when you see someone get targeted, it gives everyone a bit of a confidence to speak to that person like a piece of shit as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, when en masse put the chosen an enemy...
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of wants to be on the side of the masses. You don't want to side with the wrong guy.
Yeah.
So it gives everyone this weird false confidence to also be like, yeah, you know, like the bully over the shoulder sort of thing. The people over the bully shoulder, should I say.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I say, I'm not saying that Punk's whiter than white. I'm really not. But I think there's a lot of play.
Yeah.
And I think he was bullied out of there.
Yeah, big time.
Which is a shame. I just think that's really sad for grown men.
It is, but like, how... Obviously, it's been a year or so where that's like been brewing, and he's gone after Punk's gone after everybody. Like, he was called Mox in an interview.
I think he started it. I think it started with him. I don't think they've just decided. I think his presence being there rubbed them all up the wrong way. I think it would just been quite a shock to people who were in the know about the conversations of like, fuck, what does this leave me?
Yeah, yeah.
And where does this leave all of us? Because this is like a guy who we just didn't think was ever going to come back. But
the Bucks had that thing like years ago of trying to get him in New Japan.
Yeah.
And they were like actively trying to get him.
It's just different, isn't it, though? Because he's a different, you know,
he came in and he thought
he said the wrong things about the wrong people. And he just made a lot of enemies, I think.
He literally went after it, because that rabbit hole that was down, he went after Moxley, saying he weren't a good wrestler. He went after Jericho, obviously, most recently.
Mm.
But he'd gone after Jericho a few times. Obviously, the Bucks, Omega, Hangman. That's like the backbone of that company.
Yeah. He just picked on the wrong people. And I just think he can't... He's just... We've both known people... who can't help themselves.
Yeah.
And you, in your head, you go in, and we've been in work situations, and we've worked with people...
Just can't get out their own way.
...who can't shut up when they're supposed to shut up, and it's like, you are going to fuck this up for yourself. And we've watched people fuck things up for themselves. So... It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So it's punk, but, you know, back to square one.
Oh, I'm a minute out my window.
Oh, dear. Andy's intermittent fasting.
I'm trying. I might break it by half an hour tonight.
Well, we should get a skedaddle because it's 8 o'clock now and we need to find some COVID tests in this fucking flat.
Yeah.
And I need a shower because I'm a fucking mess.
Yeah, I'm grim as fuck as well.
My hair needs a wash.
Right, guys. Well, thanks very much for listening. We'll see you.
I'm
going to
listen to more
things.
Jericho, because I actually found that quite relaxing, and I might listen to his conspiracy theory ones because I think there's going to be some fucking crackers. He's out, got one with CJ Perry, I think, so I might listen to that.
Yeah, listen to that, and then
listen
that can
to the,
be.
I'll listen to the. I'm not going to listen to the Aussie Open one.
Aussie Open? Oh, Aussie Open, the tag team.
Yeah.
I was thinking of like fucking Aussie Osborne. Then I was like, what?
Uncovering the icons of darkness. He's got Sheeda. I love that. 23rd of August. John Lennon, the final interview, as though it's on Talk Is Jericho.
What's John Lennon, the final interview about?
It's a writer and producer who did the last interview with John Lennon. He's got on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Fair Conspiracy enough. Behind the congressional UFO hearings.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, there's a load. I might go back and listen to a few and report back.
Yeah, if you order Joe Rogan on Wish.
He really is. That's the way he's going. How a gambler saved Chris Jericho's career.
That's fucking hilarious.
What the fuck? Anyway.
But the Angle was on Rogan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Saying about how Brock Lesnar broke his neck three different times.
No, that hilarious. Isn't
that. Well, he was just smoking a cigar with Rogan.
Yeah, I saw a bit of it.
Angle looked the best he's looked in years as far as like... coherent
speech and everything.
Everything. And he was saying something about he needs like a disc surgery, and Rogan was like, I know a guy, we'll get it sorted, like, and he was like, oh, I would have done it before the show if I'd known. Like, and he was like messaging the fucking doctor, so hopefully he gets his fucking
sorted. He looked really well and he sounded really
he could say WWE.
Yeah.
Which he's not been able to say WWE for years.
Maybe he was trying to juice a bit when he came back. And he was
went a bit loads
of pain meds. Just shitloads off his tits on opioids, at the time.
But he's like, he was slurring his speech. I was like, oh my God, like slurring promos. It was that sort of time of the Ronda match.
Yeah.
And then a bit afterwards, because he was the GM for a little bit, wasn't he? But it was great. It was awesome to see him
really
looking good. Yeah. Okay, let's get out of here and see if we can get me a test. So thanks very much for listening, everybody. We'll see you soon. Until next time.
Cheerio, motherfucker.
Hey-o.
Oh, he reenacted all
that. Oh, I bet he did.
The whole thing.
I bet he did.